You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
The county mayor is our guest. He made his speech yesterday, his last one on the county and its current situations. I guess all the county commissioners were there and other people who are going to be running to replace you in that office in a few months. And you laid out your priorities for this county going forward. The question remains, I think, you laid out some things that are obviously of great concern to the county. And you'll be in this job until November, or is it going to be August? I forgot which one this is.
August 31st is my last day.
Okay, so this is February the 6th yesterday. So March, April, May. So there are 6 months for you to implement and begin to look at the development of these projects, which you... And then it's somebody else's job to decide to either carry on with the obvious need on some of these things or to bring in their own agenda. And as you were saying to me off the air, after 8 years and the monies and time spent implementing things like these, how can somebody new just ignore what you have already done the groundwork on?
Well, and you make a good point. Really, at this point in my tenure, 6 months left, is really not the time to introduce new projects. What you want to do, or what I want to do, my objective is to really try to make it very clear that we've invested in all of these things, education, health, fighting crime, that need to be sustained. And I'm trying to make the case for sustaining the good things that we have going. Now, there are things that any new office holder is going to come in is going to change. And I know that. I'm not naive. I expect it. But I want to make a case for really two or three overarching issues. Number one, how important it is that we continue to live within our means. And that's a tough one because politicians like to spend money.
Yep.
So I'm going to constantly emphasize the importance of keeping the debt paid down. Secondly, we've got to continue to improve in education. Education, we've invested a tremendous amount of money, but we're still not seeing the results that we need. So we've got to continue to push for not just more money in education, but better standards,
so
meeting those standards.
But how much of that is on the mayor of this county? And how much impact can the mayor, have when the funding comes from the state, mm-hmm. when the school system is run by other people, mm-hmm. And your oversight, I'm sure, is important. But what can you really do, or the next person really, to have any kind of an impact on the school system, which seems to be in transition and still has many challenges.
Well, you have pointed out what I think is a fundamental flaw in our system is that the school system has their own board, which they're elected by the people. They select their own superintendent. They build their budget, but they have come to us to get that budget funded.
Right.
And if a tax increase is needed, we're the ones that have to go out and ask for the tax increase. Mm. So we are tied in because, number one, we have to approve that budget. And if there's going to be any tax increase or any increase in spending, it comes to us. And I think that the school boards that are managing the schools should be the ones that have to go out in the public and make the case for increased spending and
so
increased money.
They should have to explain why they want
right.
all this funding.
If they want to raise taxes, then explain why they want to raise taxes and let them kind of stand up and be the ones that do that. Now, there are people in education that have fundamentally different opinions of that than I do. They believe that their job is to educate, it's not to raise money. I contend that you can't separate the two.
I think you're right, but you have to sign off on the funding and
right.
the increases. Mm-hmm. So do they have to lobby you to convince you to sign that piece of
paper?
Well,
they submit their budget to us. It goes before the county commission. It's discussed at the county commission. I ultimately, as the mayor, have to sign off on it, so whatever's approved, I sign off on it. If it requires a tax increase, then I've got to be the one that gets out and promotes that.
It seems like that if there were more eyes and more time spent looking at these things closely, maybe that the fund appropriation would be done a little bit differently, because This, you know, school board, this budget is nearly $1 billion.
Well, it's over $1 billion.
Is that 1. Reasonable, 3, you 1. Think? 4. For...
Well, it is if you're getting results.
Yeah.
One of the points that I made yesterday is questionable if we're getting the results. That we have put in the last 5 years, we've put in over $100 million additionally into education. And we need to start seeing those indicators that you study for progress improve. We know that we still have a number of schools that are in the Achievement School District 5 percentile group. We know that we have poverty that has a significant impact on the success of our students. There are a number of community-wide issues that we need to be addressing if we're truly going to make education work. We got some good people working in education, but they're not necessarily given the tools that they need to do what needs to be done. I don't necessarily think you have to just support education by giving them more money. You support education by having high standards and holding people accountable to standards.
Well, you know, some of the issues that came to light last autumn, and we had, folks on the air. Mr. Hobson was here to explain the issues at Tresvant and the other high schools that were involved in the alleged corruption and the grade changing, and the auditing process was underway, and I assume it is still, but there is likely some more, great news out of that area on grade changing and just trying to keep up, because if you don't keep up, the funding doesn't keep coming in from the state and so on. So there is by nature, I wouldn't say that it's always corrupt, but There is a challenge to keep grades up for the students, for the teachers, for the principals, to keep the money coming in, and whatever it takes to get there. That seems to be their ongoing mantra, which is not necessarily the right one.
You know, education must be the top priority for government, and when it slips and fails, then it becomes a huge issue that everyone sees and everybody demands that it be corrected. So education's under intense scrutiny, but
constantly.
The people that are educators that are working in this field have to understand that the eyes of America, and certainly in Shelby County, the eyes of Shelby County are watching them very closely, and they understand that, and they understand the essence of accountability if they're not meeting those standards.
Well, it's hard to tell who is doing well and who is not. Because some days there are some good stories and some days there are some bad stories. And they don't really, wash out the other one. But it's an ongoing challenge. This transition from city to the county being in charge of all of this has not been a smooth one. And it's still underway. And likely this transition will not end anytime soon.
Well, the way it's structured in Tennessee is that county governments are the ones that are responsible for funding education, regardless of how the government is structured. It's county government that has
that goes back to though the
oh, goodness,
strange
the
configuration.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, it goes back to really the Constitution, the way that it was written back 200 years ago. Is that the counties have that responsibility.
So it's on you regardless of your opinion.
See, we're funding, county government funds schools in Arlington and Lakeland and Collierville and all over the county and in the city of Memphis. So it will ultimately always be county government's responsibility through the property tax and sales taxes to fund education. So that'll always remain the same. And that's why I think it's vitally important that the county mayor be involved in it, because it's the biggest responsibility. It's the biggest piece of our money. Almost 50% of what you pay in taxes goes to education. So, the mayor must be involved.
So over the past 8 years, have you had some sit-downs with Mr. Hobson and offered your opinions strongly on certain issues?
Yeah.
And are they listened to?
They are. And I've had good communication with various board members. And it's... You know, I think we all wish it was a simpler process, but what I emphasize, and I mentioned this in the speech yesterday, that when you talk about where we have shortcomings in education, you've got to look beyond just the school system and the people that are working in the system. You've got to look at the fact that we have parents that aren't supporting education. You have looked at the fact that you have some children that in the course of a school year may be in 5 or 6 different schools because their families are moving around all over. You have parents that don't bring their child. Now, get this, because this is shocking. You have parents that don't bring their child to school for the first time until they're 8 or 9 years old. Mm. And you question why they're coming in at 8 years old for the first time, because they wanted to take care of their babies at home. Those are some of the problems, poverty, unemployment, that families are dealing with and that the school system is dealing with. Our teachers are called upon more and more to do things that really are outside the scope of the classroom,
certainly,
which is asking a lot of teachers. So I love our teachers. I love our education system. But as a society, when we start talking about education, we better start talking about how we as a community can support education in different ways.
And we hear this over and over from people like you and basic components of these discussions are always the same.
Yep.
And this has been this way for a decade and beyond. What the answers are, no one knows, but there is certainly no end to discussions about how to fix it. But the funding factor is always there, how that money is spent, 180-something schools, and it's a very, very complicated process. And this morning, as you may have seen, this story came out last night about the fact that Memphis, the city, is the poorest large metro in America. How does that affect the county? Or did they just look at the metro population and not at Shelby County? Or do you know how that works?
Well, that's the metro.
But it leaks out into the county, I would suspect.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it involves us all. Yeah, it has an impact.
Not good news.
It's not good news. And where does it impact us? Well, it impacts us from the standpoint that we're not generating the revenue that we need through our systems of government to really do the improvements that need to be made in this community.
Yeah.
We have so many compelling needs in our community. Public health, the opiate epidemic that we're struggling with right now. So many issues of crime and public safety, juvenile justice system. These are all areas that are impacted by poverty, by unemployment, by homelessness, by any number of things. And if we're going to fight crime, if we're going to improve the health of our community, if we're going to raise education standards, we got to start by really raising the employability of our workforce and getting good jobs in here that can keep people employed and healthy.
And as you said before, this all begins with education.
Education. Sorry, education.
And it goes right up the ladder.
Overarching.
Yeah, and that is where everything begins.
Yeah.
And that's one of the issues we have in this town, and the crime and the poverty and all these things that are linked, you know, to the lack of education or just that entire mess that never, never ends.
Let me put in a quick plug for our opiate initiative.
Oh, yeah, I want to get that. That's coming up next here. Okay. The county mayor is our guest. He made his speech yesterday, his last one on the county and its current situations. And your lead item was the opioid issue, which is a problem not only in this county, but across the country. And I know that many of you guys have kind of come together, you and Mayor Jim, front to show some unity on fighting this problem. The questions are, and this thing has been discussed ad nauseum, everyone knows it's there. It affects everybody, you know, be it black, be they white, be they poor, be they rich. The overdoses you hear about endlessly, the deaths, and the problems persist day after day after day in this country. The thing that I don't understand is, you know, it's just the fixing of the problem. What kind of tangible things can government do besides awareness? And I'm not sure how that helps. But this is a real, real uphill, fight that will never end. After you're gone, this problem is still going to be here.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you do that's the most effective approach to get a handle on this?
Well, first of all, I think you very clearly laid out that there's no simple answer to this, because who do you go after? Do you go after the manufacturer?
Where
do you go? Do you go to the distributor? Do you go to the pill mill? Do you go to the pharmacy? There's so many players in this scenario. And quite frankly, originally, everything they were doing is legal. And there still would be some arguments that what they're doing is legal. So that even complicates it more when you start looking at litigation. So I make that point to say that we've got to fight this problem at the grassroots. How do we we inform the public of the malady that we're in here? How can people treat it themselves? But then how can we, through an awareness, start really holding the doctors accountable, the pharmacies accountable, and all of the various players accountable? And how we get this thing resolved remains to be seen. But we know that it starts with public awareness that we're all victims at one point or another. Every one of us in this room have been on an opiate at one point in our life and never realizing the consequences.
Wisdom teeth being pulled, you know, dental work being done.
No, absolutely.
You know, I mean, and these things are out there.
This is a public health issue as well as a public health, a public safety issue.
Yeah.
I call it the confluence of public health and public safety. And we've got to address it on both sides. We've got to hold people legally accountable, but we've also, from a health standpoint, got to inform people and make them aware of the consequences.
Well, you know, I get it is, you know, pretty hard to not be aware of this problem. But doctors and dentists and pharmacists are all on top of this, I think, because if you are prescribed anything like this, you got to show your ID and sign for it. And so they have, you know, tightened down on some of the rules. But you stand back and you look at a big pharmacy and who supports them or who doesn't support them, and the drug problems in this country from coast to coast on every level are out of control.
Absolutely.
This one is the biggest one. But the question is, you know, how do you get a handle on this in individual cities and counties in Ohio? Just the stories out of that place, how about how many pills were being shipped to these tiny towns, and they tried to figure out why. Well, there's something going on hinky, you know, there. And so the problem is all-consuming, and there's no, you know, real, there's not just, you know, one place to point the finger.
When I say that some doctors have been prescribing opiates legally for years, that's true.
Yeah.
But at one point, does prescription become excessive?
Yeah.
And that's an issue that you and I can't answer.
And pain management is discussed, and I don't understand what that means. I mean, if you're in pain, you're in pain. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that pain? Well, medication. Or is there a way out? It's a very convoluted, confusing, complex issue.
People that think that you're going to solve this by filing lawsuits are misguided.
Yeah. So
filing lawsuits is just getting another industry, the legal industry, engaged in it, which then brings about all of the
bills,
the problems that you have there. So I'm a proponent for seeing what we can do to resolve this thing short of litigation, if it can be done. It may not be able to be done, but we got to try something different than what we've done in the past.
We had you up here last December. It was before Christmas, and I've never really seen you agitated before because you're pretty calm and even keeled. But the issues that several of the commissioners tried to pull to get some press, which they did, by hiring some big name lawyer from New York to sue Big Pharma was an ill-advised thing for the wrong reasons, and that finally was put to sleep, right? Because you kind of stepped in. And, well, now there were two things overturned,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So where does that stand, and is that still an issue?
It's still an issue, and quite frankly, that lawsuit has impeded the progress that we were making on so many fronts.
We had
a plan. We've been moving forward with that plan for the last two or three years. Our health department is taking the point on this. And now we've got this lawsuit that was initiated by our county commission that's kind of jammed things up a little bit for us. So we're trying as best we can to work around that and do what we can do at the local level. And we're litigating that particular lawsuit.
Now, I didn't realize that was still in your way.
Yeah, the judge ruled that we were the ones that had the authority to move forward with this. But he let stand the lawsuit that had been filed. It was one of those quirks of the judicial system, we're the ones that have the authority, but since it's already been done by the legislative branch, let's play it out. So that's what we're doing now, which we're still trying to work around that.
Yeah, and that's very frustrating to see some of the comments in this story. The names I will not mention because I'm not going to do it. That's what they wanted to get out of this, is their name in the press. But it is unfortunate that politics and agendas get in the way of the progress and the fixing of the problem. And that's what the case is. And you're too nice to say that, so I'll say it. It's these dumbasses that want to play politics in lieu of you know, getting something done. So besides education and the opioid crisis that is no secret to anyone, there were several other things that you mentioned yesterday in your last speech to the county. What were they?
Well, certainly, we are known as a logistics center, distribution center, warehousing center, which those are the lower paying end of the job market. If we're going to compete and really lift our community financially, we're going to have to start really looking at some of the higher tech type professions and seeing what we can do to be a more diverse economy here locally. No, FedEx is wonderful. FedEx employs some 40,000 people.
Yeah.
So FedEx is primarily a logistics operation. We need to really focus on trying to diversify our economy and making some opportunities available for our young people that are coming up. One of the concerns that I have as a political leader with gray hair is that we're losing a lot of our young talent, a lot of our young professionals in that 20 to 35 age range who would love to stay in this area are leaving, not because they want to leave Memphis, but because they don't have the opportunities to stay here.
Right.
So we're going to have to, if we're going to grow our community, we're going to have to start keeping that young talent here. We got some very progressive young people that are coming up, but we're losing a lot of good people because of the opportunities elsewhere. So the out-migration of our young professionals is a concern not only for today, but for the future leadership of our community.
Without question. Well, there are 6 months left on your term. How do you plan to spend them? Pursuing these items that you were that are obviously on your to-do list, that are priorities for this county. Does a mayor in your position get the support he needs to pursue these issues when they know that you're on the way out?
Yeah, I've always been fortunate that I've had support to get things accomplished. No political leader I know has all the support they'd love to have.
Well, no.
But I have been very fortunate with the support that I've had, which has allowed us to do some very progressive things. And I still feel that we have a community that wants to do better. And I think that I have a responsibility to continue to lead right up until the day that I do depart. And then after I leave this job, I'll see if there's some other opportunities where I can contribute outside the realm of politics.
That's a thinly veiled reference to your future. now, don't start making up stuff. Now, I cannot see you. Well, I don't know what you're, but what would you want to do after this? Or have you even thought about the 7th month after today,
yeah,
when you're out of office and
I've thought about it.
When you fished for a bit and read for a bit and gotten some rest? You're not done with this, I don't think. What are your options?
Well, I think all those options you mentioned might keep me happy for a week.
But you're not going
to get. I'm going to have to stay involved some way.
You'll get bored.
Yeah. I'll stay involved some way. And I've always been very fortunate in my life that when opportunities have arisen, they've been good options for me. And people ask me what I'm going to do after September 1. I said, I don't know, but I'm excited because I know something's going to develop for me. And I'm going to wait and see what the options are. It's kind of a God thing in the sense that as doors close, doors open.
I just had the same thought. You read my mind.
Yeah. I've had doors closed in my face only to have doors open that
right.
were even better.
Maybe you could run for a county commissioner seat and get back at the new mayor.
That's
retribution would be sweet.
Absolutely.
Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have always thought very highly of you as a gentleman and as a leader. You've done some fine work, and we thank you for always being honest about the things going on and the challenges that we face in this county. You're a good man.
Thank you.
And we thank you for being our friend and you'll be back before you leave.
I look forward to it.
Because I, at some point, I'm going to force you into endorsing somebody for the next, for the person that has to replace you, which will be hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have these people. We have a list of those who are going to run for mayor. And so we'll be kind of watching them closely to see what they propose and if they intend to carry on the things that you've begun. That'll be pretty important, I think.
I think it is. And during the election season, ask the tough questions.
We intend to. Believe me, that's not a problem around
but
here.
Thank you all for, yes, sir, for what you do, and certainly the platform that you've given me over the years. It's very much appreciated.
It is a pleasure, and I thank you, Mark, and we will see you again at least once before the end of your term, and we'll wish you well then and
thank
again
you.
Today. Thank you, sir.
God bless. Thank you all.
Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. The county mayor, that is Mr. Mark Luttrell. We thank him. Coming up next in a moment, Shay Flynn will join us to discuss more issues and stuff. It is not too early to begin your thoughts about your yard. Jameson Pest and Lawn has been doing our yard for over a decade. That's why it is always healthy and green and pretty. And these guys are way ahead of the game. They don't just sit by and not look into new techniques. They have some new concepts this year for getting your lawn fertilized early. They've already been to our house, I believe, twice to kill the weeds. That's already underway. They have a new system that what it does is make the root system and the soil much healthier, so your grass is greener and healthier. Sounds pretty simple, but nobody else in town is doing this. These guys are on top of it. They go to classes and learn new stuff. Then they bring it home and take it to your home and make your yard pretty and green. And they take care of the weeds and do it in a year-round kind of a process. The brand-new lawn care program treats the entire yard, and they can come to your house and do it for you as they have for us for a long time. 452-1505. I wouldn't wait very long. I would call and make an appointment to have Jameson come out and look at what you got going on. Thank you, Pat O'Brien. His staff is really quite competent. They know what they're up to with your weed killing and your fertilizing and all of that stuff. Call them. Make an appointment. Go online for more info. JamesonPest.com. The name you know, the service you trust, 452-1505. A break, and we'll chat with our friend Shay Flynn after we do this timeout.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.